Welcome to our seventh episode of our 3DS podcast, Actually Why Not? Warum eigentlich nicht? The purpose of this podcast is to raise awareness and ideas for different ways to be successful in our business life and to value diversity, as well as to encourage to think about the possible or the impossible. Accompany us in talks with several personalities from inside and outside our 3DS ecosystem who share their stories, what they did differently, and their actually why not moments. My name is Judith Wallner. Today I'm alone as my colleague who's doing the podcast usually is on sick leave. Today's guest is Cosimo De Carlo, CEO at EDAG Engineering Group AG. Cosimo joined EDAG as CEO in 2018. Prior to that, he held various management positions in the technology and consulting sector, mainly for the automotive industry. We'll learn more about his career and his actually why not moments in the following 20 minutes. Welcome, Cosimo. We are super pleased and very happy to have you here as our guest in our podcast.
Thank you, Judith. My pleasure.
Thank you very much, Cosimo. How are you today?
I'm very good. Very excited. I'm very happy to be here, Judith.
Excellent. Cosimo, to allow us and our audience to know you a bit better, could you briefly reflect about the three key milestones of your career?
Yes, for sure, with pleasure. First of all, I think my first milestone was my first position in Germany and the research and development of Mercedes cars. See, I studied in Italy and in France, and for me was the first experience I had in Germany and also, let's say, outside Italy, even if, as I said, I studied in France. It was for me, of course, a big change in the way of thinking in the scene, let's say, the core of the automotive industry in Germany. The second, important milestone in my career was in 2013, as I got my first CEO position for Germany within the Altran Group. And it was, of course, a big change in my way of thinking, big change in my way of, acting as managers. The third one is, of course, for sure there in 2018, as I decided to join the EDAG Group. It was very important for me. The first experience as a CEO of a big group, which is also listed in the stock exchange in Frankfurt.
So in our podcast, Cosimo, we also want to address the idea and the fact that resumes never run perfectly. And we want to encourage with this to take different paths and to dare doing things differently. When I look at what you just shared with us, the three key milestones, you have an extraordinary and steep career path with a lot of top-level positions. But at what point in time were there any kind of disruptions, or when did something go completely different as you planned it to go?
But let's say in our career, I'm absolutely convinced that the things never go exactly like you imagined at the beginning. Career is a combination of different factors, like your aspirations, your values, your work, but also some other, environment, which is also important for you. Let's imagine you have a mentor with you, some persons who suddenly inspire your life and give you new impulses so that you can change your careers. When I come back to my career, I studied engineering. So I was convinced that my career should also end in engineering. That means only work as an engineer in technical stuff. But in 2000, as I was 28, 30, I start being in contact with other aspects of the career, so I could imagine myself play a different role in management. And I think my full life was full of these moments where, thanks to the inspiration of other leaders, I could think, oh, you could also do that. It's not only the only way to do it like this.
The title of our podcast is Actually Why Not? What was one of your key Actually Why Not moments, Cosimo?
But for sure, Judith, the most important moment in this direction was in 2013, as I had for the first time the opportunity to become a CEO of a German company. It was quite new for me, having studied in Italy, even if I already spent part of my career in Germany, was for sure an important moment in my career life where I said, okay, I think I can do it. I will bring for sure new elements in this function, but I decide, yes, Cosimo, you can go ahead with this.
Were there any important doubts along your way?
But always, I think it's not possible to better yourself, to go ahead in your career, also as a person, as a leader, if you don't ask every day what are the stuff that you have done in a good way or in a bad way. This is a key in management. Many people think CEO does not need to learn. We learn every day as a CEO because we are in contact with very talented people. And also the market, the transformation that we're living at the moment, let's say, oblige us to change our angles every day.
I've got a question from our previous guest, Cosimo, which is directly linked to transformation of the industry. Our last guest was Marc Schindler, founder and MD of Autobahn. They are developing autonomous mobility concepts for cities. And Marc's question is the following.
Hi, Cosimo. How much of a challenge is it to adjust your business model to the changing environment on the customer side? Most of the OEMs are transforming towards e-mobility companies. How are you handling that?
Yes, of course. So we are in the middle of this transformation. We have the same situation as an engineering service provider, where we are changing the focus of this industry from the car itself to mobility concepts. And we are asked to be, of course, on the cutting edge technology concerned to that. Even if many people think automotive industry is a conservative industry, it's very difficult or it takes a long time to take decisions. I think we are in the middle of a great transformation, which will allow us really to bring our company to the next step and make sure that we will have this leadership position in this industry also in the upcoming years. So this is, of course, a challenge because, as I said, this industry is, I would say, conservative at a certain point of view. But at the end of the day, we have a clear challenge and we have a clear vision, which is to reinvent the mobility of the future. That's the reason why we always say at IDAC, reinvent mobility, reinvent yourself.
And I can imagine that you've got such a high level of innovation in the IDAC teams and in your way to proceed, in your technologies you use, etc., that there's no debate about that. It's just the question on how to go there.
Exactly. Innovation is a part of our DNA. We will for sure lose our leadership position if we were not always, let's say, seen as innovative company. But innovation means, of course, to every day to change yourself, to bring yourself, let's say, in a difficult position, I will say, where you have to decide, do I go ahead with this technology, yes or no? And this is part of our DNA, because, as you know, innovation is not only to generate ideas. If you want to do innovation, you have to generate ideas and implement them. All in this way, you can let's say, claim to be an innovative company.
You said it was 2013, Cosimo, that you were proposed to become CEO of a German company. It was Altran Germany at that time. Today, and since a couple of years now, you are CEO at IDAC. You are in charge of 8,000 people worldwide, which is the next dimension compared to the step you made in 2013. How is this responsibility impacting you? And what were your thoughts about this when you accepted the job 4.5 years ago?
It was a great question. It was a great moment, of course, in my life. You can imagine it's a new step in my career development, not only in terms of size, because you mentioned before 8,000 people, but also in terms of responsibility. We are talking about a listed company with many, let's say, new requirements, many new challenges for me as a CEO. And the first question, of course, I asked myself was, which is my strategy? What do I want to do? How do I want to transform this classical German company and bring this company to the next step? It was a very important moment in my life, not only because I was, of course, honored of having this chance, but also because I felt responsible for many employees, for a company, and bring this company to the next level. So for sure, a quite important moment in my life.
When did you act, let's say, kind of out of the ordinary to achieve your goals?
In my position, many people think it is a clear decision-making a CEO always has the answer to everything. This is unfortunately not the case, but I would say fortunately is not the case, because this makes our job also very challenging and fascinating for us. Of course, it's very important to follow the rules. On the other side, we are in a phase of transformation of our industry. And like in every transformation phase, you need a different point of view. You need new characteristics. You need the new points that you have to take into account when you take decisions. And this is very important to me, because very often when the customers come to us, they ask us not for a standard solution. They ask us for the best solution. And in this case, we have to think about what is the best solution for this industry or for this topic.
So you're CEO of 8,000 people worldwide, and following you on LinkedIn, I can observe that you are pretty active and you're traveling, you're kind of business jet setter and attending a lot of big events. On which occasions, Cosimo, are you still nervous, and what do you do then?
Many people think, you know, as a CEO, you always have an answer to everything, as I said before. But of course, you can be nervous. For instance, today with the podcast, I'm nervous as well. It's not easy to do such a podcast. But on the other side, without joking, I think everybody of us is nervous because we want to be well prepared to everything. My first recipe is always preparation. Preparation is very important. Only if we are well prepared, we can react to different situations that we were not planning at the beginning.
Let's address the value of diversity. You mentioned it earlier, Cosimo. You became managing director of a rather, let's say, classical German company in 2018, talking about EDAG. And have you ever asked yourself the question how it would be for an Italian guy to manage such a, let's say, classical German company?
Yes, it was this question, of course, I asked myself at the beginning, as I was proposed to do that, and I was asking myself, how do you want to do it? For me, it's clear authenticity is very important. It's not possible to change your behavior. I think it's very important to continue to have a coherent style and to be authentic. For sure, as an Italian, I bring some typical characteristics of Italian people. I mean, I see clear communication. For me, it's very important to see also the chances. I try, the challenges are very big, but if you, let's say, try to face these challenges in an optimistic way, according to me, is always better than always seeing from the beginning the problems. Nowadays, you know, I'm living in Germany since more than 20 years, so it's I can say I bring the combination of two words. As a person, I'm very structured guy, so I always loved to work in a German company, because it was for me very important to work in a structured environment. On the other side, you can still have your DNA, you can have your values in a structured environment. And according to me, the combination of both worlds can allow you to bring your best in your position.
What value of cultural diversity do you perceive in your personal life?
My life is full of diversity. I mean, since I work many years abroad, and I had the opportunity or the chance to be in contact with many people from different nationalities, but also people with different background, I think I was very lucky in my life. And nowadays, I have to be really clear with you, I look for it. I look forward to it. It's something that I always, let's say, ask and see what could be another point of view. It's for me very important to be also in a team of talents with different experience, different backgrounds, because it's the only way, according to me, to solve the complexity of the problems we have nowadays. We don't need to have the people with the same background, the same that have the same experience. It's important to bring today, nowadays, a new point of views, to bring people with different mindset. And this is, for me, the clear diversity.
I like that conclusion very much. And I believe that what we're also observing in Dassault Systems, the value of bringing these different perspectives together is the only way to somehow solve and manage that rising complexity in our business life, but I guess also in our personal life and in the world and what's happening out there.
Yeah, you're right.
The next question is one of our standard questions, Cosimo, and we ask you to count or to reflect at least a bit. How many different managers did you have in your career so far? How many of them were women? And how many of them were younger than you?
Yeah, let me think, Judith. I will say I had in my past between 10 and 50 managers. Nobody of them was a woman. And I had, I think, only once the opportunity to have a manager who was younger than me.
Did you perceive any difference when you remind at least that younger manager?
Not really, to be honest with you, because it's always a matter of mindset. You can be an old manager, but having a very young mindset, and you can have a young manager having an old mindset. So it's only a matter of mindset, and I always seen that in the past. Yeah.
Let's look forward. Indeed, it's we know about our industries and the ratios of women in our industries, which is in general a big challenge for both of us. How does the situation at EDAC look like if we take a specific look on the gender diversity, and how do you deal with that challenges?
In terms of genders, we have to be better, of course. We are about 20% of our workforce is made of women. In a managing position, leadership position, we are at 9.3% in the last year. So it's something that we have to, for sure, we have to do better in this context. We are fostering this gender diversity. We are trying to create an environment which is, let's say, we can fit all the different genders. We foster international networks. We know that probably in Germany, this industry is more linked to men. So we try to make, to learn also from other countries where we don't have such numbers. I'm talking about, for instance, Sweden. In our Swedish organization, we have other numbers in terms of women, and we try to make benefits to learn from those organizations so that we can also implement some measures worldwide, not only in Germany, but also worldwide.
We've got exactly the same challenge. Like you have slightly better numbers, but we are 23% women in our company in total, and today at 13% female managers, which is far from being a good yeah. ratio. So with regards to that, we've got a guessing question for you, Cosimo, as for every guest. So our guessing question. In a given company, there is one woman within 10 managers, so 10% female manager. What percentage of men think that women are well represented in management, and what percentage of women think that this is a good representation?
Okay, it's a very interesting question, Judith. Thank you for that. But also a very difficult question.
Absolutely.
For sure, depending on the industry, depending on the nations, I would expect that, unfortunately, men managers think that that's the right percentage to have 10% women in a company. So I would estimate about around 70% of the men are convinced that it's the right ratio. I know it's a very disappointing opinion, but observing or talking in general probably would be as bad as that. On the other side, women will think that it's not the right ratio for sure. So perhaps I would say between 5% and 10% of women will think that it's the right ratio, because as a woman, I would like to have, of course, a 50-50 representancy.
Thank you for the estimation. The answer is worse and not worse, actually. The answer we have found is that 45% of men say that's a good representation of women. So it's not as bad as you would imagine, Cosimo. However, 28% of women think that's a good representation. What I believe that's the real
that's strange.
Thing that is really strange. Yeah,
you're right.
That's really strange.
You're right. So I was, let's say, more pessimistic in both sides.
We've got another guessing question for you. So we're talking about Germany only, and we talk about the STEM studies. STEM, in German, we say MINT. So science, technology, engineering, mathematics. What do you guess, Cosimo? What was the percentage in 2010? And what was the percentage in 2020 of female students in that STEM disciplines?
I think it's also another difficult question, Judith. I would estimate that we have an increase perhaps from 15% to 20%, which is more or less also in line with the numbers I told you before. So we'd expect an increase of the numbers, but still underrepresented in terms of women.
You're not so far from the increase. However, the statistics look a bit better. We've had in Germany in 2010, 28.7% female students in the STEM disciplines. And in 2020, 31.7%, which is an increase of 3%. There you were pretty close, but the overall percentage is a bit higher. I was digging a bit deeper and I checked to which extent the number of students was increasing or not in these disciplines over the past 10 years. And actually, we've seen an increase in these numbers. We've seen that there were 5% more female students in these disciplines between 2020 compared to 2010, and plus 29% more male students. So the studies are attractive. They are attractive, attracting more and more students. However, still a comparably low number of women. And to be precise, we've got that data from the website of the Komm mach MINT initiative, where there's a section with a data tool. Thank you very much, Cosimo. I tried to summarize a couple of takeaways from our podcast. First, I would say diversity is certainly something that is characterizing you. You're an engineer, an Italian engineer, and now you're managing a CEO, an 8,000 people company, mainly based in Germany. You say authenticity is also important for you. And with all that international background, you bring together best of both worlds. You bring the emotion, the passion together with, let's say, a more German structured way of doing to succeed in innovation. And finally, when you were talking about your career, we've seen that you're also a big promoter of remaining flexible. You had your plan for your career, but you were still open to inspiration and you were flexible enough to grasp the opportunities that were proposed to you. Is that a good summary?
It's a great summary, Judith. Thank you very much. I couldn't do better. Thank you.
Then, thank you very much, Cosimo, for having spent your time with us. It was a fantastic session with you. I highly appreciate it, and I know it's a privilege to have you here in our office for 2 hours. Thank you very much.
It was my pleasure, Judith. Thank you very much. I also appreciate it. Thank you.